So go ahead, if you have a Bible, a physical Bible, hold that Bible, even if you have your phone, hold your phone up in the air, and we're going to declare this morning, say with me, this is God's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert, that my heart is receptive, my ears are open, and I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you take your seats, touch two or three people in here and say, I'm so glad to see you this morning. So glad to see you. And if you're watching through the lens, please make sure that you type in the chat that you're happy to be with us this morning. Tell us where you're coming from, and we'll be able to acknowledge you as well. Amen. Amen. And bless the Lord. Now, I consider it a privilege, an honor and a privilege to stand before you this morning. And I don't take it for granted that Apostle just lets anybody come in before you to feed you the word of God. So can we give it up for Jesus this morning? Come on. And for those of you that are visiting, it's like, that guy don't look like the guy on the billboard. Guy don't look like the guy that was on YouTube. I'm not him. I'm Pastor James, and Apostle and First Lady, they're on assignment this morning. So can we give it up for our Apostle and First Lady, even though they're not here this morning? Amen. And the Bible says, he that finds a wife. See all the brothers. You see that? Yeah. He that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So I've been in this thing 37 years, y'all, and I have found my good thing. And let me tell you, I have obtained favor from the Lord. Amen. And so she just celebrated her birthday this past Friday. Y'all, she's 60 years old and still sexy. Sexy and 60. Amen. Amen. Can you say that in church, sexy and 60? I know some of y'all ladies are like, y'all, you shouldn't be saying how old your wife is. My wife will be the first to tell you that she is 60 years old. Amen. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for today. And we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that we have to present your word to your people. We thank you, Lord God, that your word is going to fall on good ground today. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And we all said together, amen. Well, the goal of this message today is to actually help you to reframe your perspective. To reframe your perspective when it comes to the struggle that you may be in and that you may be able to move forward in faith. See, there are two options for a believer, and there are many options, but there are two options that many of us face when we come into our life as a believer, and one is opportunity, and the other is opposition. Many of us would prefer to have opportunity. Well, let's just see right now. How many of you would prefer to have opportunity over opposition? Raise your hand. Look around. Keep your hand high. Keep your hand high. Look around the room. And if that's you on watching through the lens, put it in there too. Look around the room. Most of us would prefer opportunity over opposition. And what ends up happening is that opportunity feels good. Yeah. Opportunity looks like blessings. But let me give you a definition right here. Opposition, and if you have it, it's in your notes. Opposition is any force, internal or external, that resists. Everybody say resist. That resists, questions, or attempts to disqualify what God calls you to step into. That's what opposition is. Opposition doesn't feel good. That's why many of us would prefer opportunity. Opposition is not random. Opposition is targeted. See, as a believer, you have a target on your chest. I'm going to say it again. As a believer, you have a target on your chest. See, many of us should want to be like Job. When God said, have you considered my servant Job? Many of us don't want to be considered. How many of y'all remember the story of Job? See, Job lost a lot because there were some opposing forces coming against him. But many of us should get to the point where God says, have you considered my servant Mario? Have you considered my servant Martavius? See, many of us don't want that. We don't want that because it's a target. And so what happens is opposition is not rent. It shows up wherever there's something valuable on the other side. So when you're facing opposition, you need to reframe your mindset and look at it as an opportunity. Because the title of this message is Opportunity in Opposition. Opportunity in opposition. Now listen, as I was developing this message, you know, it started out as one thing. And for those of you that has been in this place, y'all realize that God will switch it up right in the middle of what he's telling you to do. So opportunity is a God-ordained moment. Opportunity is a God-ordained moment, often disguised as a problem. Listen, where your faith, your identity, and your past preparation align to move you into God's purpose and increase. See, opportunity is not always convenient. It's very strategic. Opportunity sometimes don't always feel good, but it's God positioned. Most people pray for opportunity. Most people pray away opposition. I'm going to say that one more time. Most people pray for opportunity. They pray away opposition. But listen, most people pray for opportunity, but few recognize opportunity when it shows up. Because opportunity wants to, we see opportunity as promotion, as celebration, as an easy door that opens, comfort, and many times it's just the opposite. See, opportunity looks like a problem. It comes in the form of pressure. It comes in the form of rejection. What happens when life puts you in the pressure cooker of life? What happens? See, I know how to cook a little bit. I know what a pressure cooker is. Are there any cooks in the room? Any cooks in the room? Some people doing this. You ain't no real cook if you ain't got your hand. But if you know what a pressure cooker is, a pressure cooker tends to put pressure on what's on the inside to make it soft, to make it tender. And so what happens with many of us is we get in the pressure cooker of life and we get soft. See, y'all ain't gonna like it, but we get soft as a believer. The Bible says after having done all to stand therefore. And if we're honest, most of us have missed opportunities, not because they weren't there, but because they were wrapped in opposition. Is opposition pushing you further away from God? Or is it pushing you closer to God? See, let me give you a New Testament example. See, in Matthew 14, 22, it says that Jesus said, hey, fellas, I'm gonna meet you guys on the other side. So you guys get in the boat and I'll meet you on the other side. And then the boat got out there in the water, and then the winds and the rain started happening. And the disciples got doubtful. They became fearful. See, when the winds and the rain came, it looks like opposition. And then somebody came walking on the water. And Jesus says, do not be afraid, for it is I. And then Peter, with his bold self, Peter said, Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come. Jesus did what? He said, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat on faith. See, what the other disciples saw as opposition, Peter saw it as opportunity. And whenever you have opposition going on in your life, you don't necessarily need to shy away from it. You don't need to cower. You need to look for the opportunity in it to get closer to God. Listen, opposition is not always the interruption of opportunity. Sometimes opposition is the opportunity. See, let me say it like this. The battle is not blocking your blessing. The battle may be the blessing. Come on, somebody. The resistance in your life is evidence you're carrying something worth fighting for. So you got to evaluate your life. And if you're coming against something right now, that's because something is valuable on the inside of you that God is trying to release from you that you can get to your next level in destiny. Amen? And so here's where I want to transition to my text this morning. And it's going to be found in 1 Samuel 17. And it's going to be 32 through 40. Now, many of you know the story. Many of you have heard the story of David and Goliath. And we know that David took 5 smooth stones. And then he put one in his slingshot. And then he wrapped that slingshot and he bust old Goliath right upside the head. And Goliath died and David ended up cutting off his head. But see, what many of us, we celebrate that story, but we got to rewind and go back into the middle of the story to see how God used David to get him to where he was. See, so here's my first point. My first point is found in 1 Samuel 17, 32 and 33. 1 Samuel 17, 32 and 33. And it says this in 1 Samuel. It says, "Now David said to Saul, 'Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him.' Saul replied, 'You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth.'" So my first point is you got to watch what you hear. So when you're in the thick of opposition, when you're in the thick of the battle, you got to watch the voices that you listen to. See, the first opposition wasn't Goliath, it was voices. See, the army, the Israelite army, they were saying, "Listen, none of us want to challenge this guy called Goliath." So they were all afraid to go out and fight him. And so David decided to say, "Listen, he is cursing the living God that we serve." And so let me say this, the crowd was fearful. And so you got to watch your atmosphere. You got to watch your environment. Because in one instance, they were saying, "Be afraid." But in Isaiah 41 and 10, you got to remind yourself, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you and uphold you with my right hand." You got to remind yourself when the negative voice says no, you got to say, "God says yes." In Psalms 56 and 3, it says, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." And so when the voices are saying no, you got to remember God is saying yes. And so now what ends up happening is Saul spoke limitation. Saul said, "You are so young, you don't need to fight this giant." But in Ephesians 3:20, it says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that's working in us." See, David had to filter all of these voices. Why is David's filtering so important? You must be careful who you listen to, because what you hear will shape how you move. Okay, here's a take-home statement. The wrong voice can make you forfeit the right movement. Okay. Remember, opportunity is a God-ordained moment. The wrong voice will paralyze you. The right voice will propel you. What voice are you listening to in the midst of your opposition? Some voices are familiar, but they're not faith-filled. Some of us are listening to Mama now. Some of us are listening to Cousin Nim. Some of us are listening to coworkers. They're telling you the wrong thing. Listen, if you have people in and around your life that's telling you negative things, you need to leave. You need to leave that situation. You need to leave that environment, because what ends up happening, most of us already know this, is like, well, I guess I won't get married. Girl, you know, you might not get married, because there ain't no good men out here. Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. If you have, if you're going around talking about, ooh, I feel sick in my body. Well, yeah, it's going around. It's going around. I think I feel what you feel. You need to get away from that voice. Because my God says that he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Okay. The songwriter said, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet. Oh, can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. Listen, you can't turn around now. You can't turn around now. You can't turn around now, because you've come this far by faith. Which brings me to my second point. Listen, you got to remember what you've seen. You've got to remember what you've seen. In verse 34 of that same passage of scripture, it said, but David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping sheep for his father. When a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defiled the army of the living God. And let me tell you this, you gotta tell your story. When was the last time that you gave your testimony? You got to tell your story to encourage yourself. Let me tell you this. What ends up happening is that if you don't tell your story, then you'll start listening to somebody else's story. The Bible says this, that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. Here's a take-home statement. Your testimony is your evidence. Your testimony reminds you that this is not your first victory, but it's the next one. Listen, let me tell you this. Listen, if you've ever been to the barbershop, the barber, when he finishes one person, he says, next. And he finishes that person, he says, next. And so as a believer, you need to be stacking your testimonies and saying, next. Listen, if God has done anything for anybody in here, can I get a show of hands that God has taken you from one place to another? Listen, the songwriter said, I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I asked the question, Lord, why? But when I look around and I think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Why? Because he's been good to me. He's been so, so good to me. More than this old world could ever be, he's been so good to me. He dried all of my tears away. Turn my midnight into day. I just want to thank you, Lord. I won't complain. See, when opposition comes, you need to say, I'm not going to complain, because God has been good to me. Can you find two or three people and say, God has been good to me? God has been good to me. You got to tell your story. Well, my story, I mean, I haven't had a testimony since the early 2000s. Tell your story. Because your story, your testimony shifts focus from your weakness to God's faithfulness. You got to tell your story. Tap two or three people and say, tell your story. Tell your story. Tell your story. Hallelujah. This brings me to my final point. And I have a guest that's going to come up here in just a second. But listen, when opposition comes, you got to wear what you've been given. See, some of y'all are wearing strange armor. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 17:38 and 39, it says, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. Come on up here, Malachi. Give Malachi a hand as he comes. See, so this is what happened. So now, David, with his bold self, he looked at the opposition and he saw opportunity. But see, if you let somebody else dress you, if you let somebody else put their testimony on you, come on up here, Malachi. So Saul started dressing David. This is practical purposes. This ain't the real thing, y'all. In his own armor. And Saul gave him his armor and his sword. Many of you are wearing strange armor. You in the fight and you ain't got the right stuff on. You done allowed everybody else to put something on you and you struggling to hold a sword, can't see, can't grab it right. But then David said, I gotta shake it off. I gotta shake this off. I gotta shake this off because I'm not used to this right here. I'm not used to wearing this right here. And so now, what looked ambiguous to everybody else is anointed by God. So now, look how easy he holding the sword. Look right now. So this is how he gonna fight. This is how he fights his battle. Because it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and God will use what he's already allowed you to have because he's already slayed the bear. He's already slayed the lion with what he had. And so therefore, I want to encourage you. Thank you, sir. Let's give him a hand. Give him a hand. Saul offered David his own armor. It didn't fit. Some of us are in an opposition situation and we're doing things that don't fit. Here's a take-home statement. What is untested in your life is unreliable in battle. What is untested in your life is unreliable in battle. What is untested may look impressive. I know some of y'all say, "Nay, that's a nice sword." It may look impressive. But let me tell you this. Because it looked impressive, appearance is not enough. Proof is what matters. Okay? If you've never proven it in private, you should not trust it in public. Okay? Y'all didn't like that one, okay? I'm coming down your street. If prayer is untested in private, panic will expose you in public. See, many of us, we are reactive prayers. We don't pray until something happens. Okay, y'all didn't like that one? Okay, how many of y'all have ever awakened late for work one day? Okay, about five of y'all, that's all? Well, come on, I'm gonna try it again. How many of you have ever awakened late on a job day? Thank you very much. Now, you late, now you wanna start praying. Lord, let all the lights be green.
Lord, let there be no traffic. Now, you praying, and then you calling a job at the same time. Hey, I wasn't feeling too well. Now you lying. Now you lying on your way to work. But listen, if prayer is untested in private, panic will expose it in public. If faith is untested in the small battles, fear will dominate the big ones. See, many of us, we are putting on the wrong armor. You need to fight. Listen, okay. Media team, can you put Acts 19:11-16? And we're going to read it. Acts 19:11-16. And let me get there in my notes really quick, because I believe, let me get there in my Bible. How about that? Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts 19. What'd I say? 11 through what? 11 through 16. Let me get my eyes fixed here. And it says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even the handkerchief and apron that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Okay, verse 13. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those demon possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus by whom Paul preached, I command you to come out. Verse 14, seven sons of Sceva, come on somebody, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? See, you don't win your opposition by imitation, you win it by revelation. Some of us are looking at so many online preachers that we're trying to imitate what they do. We're trying to imitate what they say. But let me tell you this, you don't win by imitation, you win by revelation. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved. A workman, that's a compounded word. That means, man, you better put in some work. And so many of us don't want to put in the work. It says, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen, Hebrews 13 says, and the just, Hebrews 10:38-39 says, and the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. So you got to take every opportunity in opposition to grow your relationship with God, because there is opportunity in the opposition. So how can we apply this word? How can we apply this word? Is this voice building faith or feeding fear in your life? You got to spend more time. Everybody say more time. You got to spend more time with God's voice. See, that's the problem in the body of Christ. Many of us don't have a consistent Bible study. Okay, y'all didn't like that one. You got to have a consistent, touch your neighbor and say, he said a consistent. See, listen, when you spend time with God's voice, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And so when you're in the middle of your opposition and you take it as an opportunity to draw closer to God, the Bible says, draw near to him and he will draw near to us. And so spend time with God's voice than people's opinions. Have a consistent Bible study. Keep a testimony mindset, because you got to stack your wins so that it will remind you that God has allowed you to be more than a conqueror. Write your testimony down. Speak your testimony often. Rehearse, rehearse, rehearse God's faithfulness. And don't waste opposition, because what looks like your battle today may be the very opportunity God uses to bring you into your next season. Did y'all get something this morning? Amen. Listen, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, some of you have come this morning and you're in the thick of a battle. And God is wanting you to not look at it as just opposition. Look at it as an opportunity to draw nearer to Him. Now, you may have come this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior.